City of Destruction, an audio drama by JesusForSinners.com, Episode 18.
I don't know what I'm going to do, Father. I'm trying to be strong, but things are getting so bad.
Excuse me, sir. Do you mind if I sit here?
Huh? Andrea, hi. Have a seat.
Hi, Mark. I just decided to stop by after school and get a coffee. I saw you sitting over here by yourself looking sad, so I thought I'd come over and cheer you up.
How's the new job going?
Oh, Mark, it's just wonderful. God has blessed me so much. My kids are well-behaved, my classes are actually about learning instead of brainwashing, and I even get to talk about Jesus.
Wow, Andrea, that sounds amazing. God sure has blessed you. I'm so happy for you. You're back to being the old Andrea, happy, excited, and talking about Jesus. I almost didn't recognize you when you're teaching at that public school.
That dark period in my life is over. Gladly, this is what I pictured doing with my life. I'm just so thankful.
Did you apply at Christian schools when you were looking for work before?
Well, honestly, Mark, when I saw what they were paying, I didn't really want to apply. The public schools paid so much more, and I figured they couldn't be much different than the Christian schools. Boy, was I wrong.
Yeah, I didn't think there'd be much of a difference either, until you started telling us about all those terrible things at that school. But I can sure tell the difference now, just by seeing how happy you are.
I know. I was so foolish, Mark. I'm so embarrassed that I actually chose more money over serving God in a school like the one I'm in now. No amount of money can make up for the difference. Instead of going home every night feeling guilty, I'm just overwhelmingly thankful that God let me serve Him all day long.
And you're okay with the money difference?
Well, it's certainly not easy. And it does mean I'm going to have to be living with my parents for a while longer. But every day when I go to school, every time I get to talk about Jesus in class to those kids, it's so worth it, Mark.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what to do about money. Our family's really struggling. My dad's pension isn't much, and we have to pay for our own health insurance, and my mom's income, well, it just isn't keeping up. I feel so bad that I can't contribute. I keep looking for computer jobs because they pay so well, and we could really use the money. But maybe I just need to settle for anything I can get.
You mean outside the computer industry?
Well, I'm not having much luck inside the computer industry. My first job was so short, everyone asked what happened. And when I tell them I quit because I couldn't encourage my transgender boss to keep sinning, well, that pretty much ends the interview.
Don't all these companies have a non-discrimination policy when it comes to hiring?
Oh, they all say they don't discriminate, but the reality's a lot different. They don't even seem to care about hiding the fact that they don't want to hire me because of my beliefs.
How can they get away with that?
They're just banking on the fact that I won't sue them. And even if I did, they'd just point out my last job and say that I couldn't get along with my coworkers.
So, what are you going to do, Mark? I mean, won't other companies ask you the same question? Even the ones outside the computer industry?
Yeah, probably so. Man, I don't know what I'm going to do. The funny thing is, I went over to Brian's house a couple weeks ago.
Oh, how is he?
Wrapped up in work.
Hmm.
I reminded him of that night before our high school graduation.
Oh, on the football field.
Yeah. I reminded him of the promise we made, that we'd always glorify God, no matter what, no matter where, and we'd do it together. But honestly, Andrea, I'm having trouble right now. I know God takes care of us. He's still taking care of our family. And I love the way He's taking care of you. It's so encouraging. And I'm trying not to worry. But man, I'm struggling. And the worst part is, I feel like such a hypocrite. I'm always telling everyone else not to worry, to just trust God. And here I am.
God's strengthening you, Mark. Remember the verse in James chapter 1? We're supposed to be joyful in trials because this is how God strengthens us and completes us. I know he's made me stronger with what I had to go through at that public school. Just look at the whole money thing. That was such a big deal to me when I was first looking for a job. Now being able to obey and serve him is more important to me than money. He did that through those trials I went through. I love that God goes through so much to sanctify and strengthen us.
Yeah, you're right, Andrea. Thanks. I appreciate the encouragement. I need to be reminded that God's always doing things to help us, to make us more like Jesus.
Exactly. I know it's hard, though, when we're in the middle of it, to see the benefit, but we have to just trust that God knows what he's doing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Thanks so much, Andrea.
Thanks to God, Mark. Glory to him.
Glory to God. I love this, Andrea. Just like we promised that night on the football field, together for God. Forever, no matter what.
No matter what.
Hello? Jennings Residence.
Carol, it's me.
Harold, where have you been? I've been so worried about you. Why didn't you answer your phone?
I couldn't, Carol. They took it from me.
They? Who? Who took it from you?
The police. They arrested me. I'm down at the police station.
Arrested you? What happened?
I was getting our coffees, and I gave the cashier a gospel tract. The one where Jesus says, "No one comes to the Father but by me." Well, she didn't like that and called the police.
Didn't like it? What didn't she like?
I guess she thought it was an insult to other religions. She didn't really say anything to me. I was over putting cream in the coffees. By the time I walked out, the police were already there. They arrested me for hate speech and distributing offensive literature.
What? Offensive literature? It's a gospel tract.
I know. But it's apparently a violation of the new hate speech law. At any rate, I need you to come down here and bail me out. It's going to be $5,000. Do we have enough on the credit card?
$5,000? Oh, I don't know, Harold. I'll have to check.
I know. We shouldn't have much of anything on there, though. Just the car repairs from over the summer.
Yeah, I think we'll have enough. If not, we have a little money in our savings account, too.
Okay, do what you can, Carol.
Oh, honey, I'll be there as soon as I can.
Don't worry, I'll be here.
You're free to go, Mr. Jennings. For now. But if you reoffend while out on bail, you're going to be locked up until your trial.
That's Pastor Jennings.
Just keep out of trouble.
Harold!
Carol, how am I glad to see you.
Harold, what took so long? I posted bail hours ago.
Yeah, well, I think they were trying to give me an appreciation for the ambience to keep me from doing anything that would bring me back here again. I'm sure they weren't in any rush to let me go.
I still can't believe they arrested you for a gospel tract.
That's the new law, Carol. There's apparently a stipulation about perceived insults to other religions or putting one religion above another.
But if only one of them is true?
I know, but that's not what the devil wants. He wants people to think that faith in these demon gods is the same as faith in the true God. The devil doesn't mind people using lots of different paths to get to hell. He just doesn't want them to find the one path to heaven.
This is just incredible, Harold. How are you going to preach? I mean, these things are in the Bible. Is the Bible considered hate speech now?
Parts of it probably are. I don't know what this is going to mean for my preaching. There are lots of things that new law that the Bible would violate. The verses about fornication, marriage, divorce, homosexuality, and apparently the exclusivity of Jesus.
What about our religious freedoms, Harold?
Yeah, well, no one in there was reading the city's constitution to me. They just kept telling me how many different ways the Bible violates the new law.
I just can't believe this. So, what happens now?
I have to go down to the courthouse next week. There'll be a hearing. I guess I'm going to need a lawyer.
Harold, can we afford that?
Well, the other option is a public defender. There's a number I can call to find out about that.
Would a public defender do any good?
I don't know. I'm not sure how many choices we really have right now. Did we have enough money on the credit card?
No. The work on that transmission put a big dent in our credit limit. I had to take some money out of our savings.
I'm happy to know there's money in our savings.
Well, not much anymore. Oh, Harold, what are we going to do?
Pray, Carol. Pray a whole bunch.
No, they were using a taser on him. I couldn't just stand there. I had to help him.
You should have just let them fry him.
What a terrible thing to say. People still have a right to free speech in this city, you know. What?
Oh. Why are they still calling here? You don't even work for President Sherwood anymore. I thought all this would stop after you got fired.
That wasn't a reporter, sweetheart. That was a phone interview.
An interview?
Yeah, apparently every employer in town has an opinion on my defending that street preacher. And so far, none of them are positive. What a mess.
Was it worth it, Mom? I mean, all this Christian stuff, is it worth it?
Yes, Jared, yes it is. Because no matter what these people say or do to me, I know there's someone who won't ever reject me. He cared enough for me to die for me. I don't care what happens to me in this life. I have heaven to look forward to. And I want you to be there with me, sweetheart. I wish I could make you understand. I just pray God opens your eyes.
My eyes are just fine, and my ears too. I know because I hear the kids at school making fun of me every single day. I got to hear about how my mom's a bigot and a crazy religious nut. They ask me where my Bible is and if I'm going to tell anyone they're going to hell.
Oh, Jared, I'm so sorry they're doing that to you. Just try to ignore them, honey. They don't know what they're talking about. The devil's blinded their eyes. They don't know what they're saying.
Ignore them? How am I supposed to ignore them? I'm with them every day. Some of my friends don't even talk to me anymore. How could you do this to me, Mom? You've ruined everything.
Jared, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that they're doing all those things. But the Bible says we'd be persecuted for Christ's sake. Jesus said the world would hate us because of him.
Who's us, Mom? I'm not one of you. I already have people at school calling me a radical Christian. I don't need to hear it at home, too.
Oh, Jared, I wish you could understand. You have to stop thinking like this. As long as you have this hostility towards God, you're going to be blinded too.
I don't want to hear it, Mom. I just don't want to hear any more, okay? What's going to happen to us, Mom, if you can't find a job? I mean, what's going to happen?
Well, I have some money in my savings, so I think we're okay for a while. I just need to figure out who in this town's going to hire me.
What if no one does?
I've been thinking about that. I guess I could always start my own business, maybe get a franchise.
Doesn't that cost money?
Yes, but I might have enough to get going if I can find the right business. Other than that, I could run out of options quickly. I'm starting to think that I might be the most notorious person in this city.
Where is God, Mom? Why isn't he helping you? You threw away your job for him, and now you need him, and he's not here.
Jared, he's always been here. He brought me to him. He saved me. If nothing good ever happens to me again in this life, I still have more than most people. I have forgiveness. He already paid the biggest debt I'm ever going to have. He took my sins away. He's probably testing me to see if I'll trust him, to see if I'll be faithful.
Test you? Why would he test you?
I think this is how he makes us stronger, Jared. I think it's times like this when we're supposed to trust him more than ever. As frustrating as it is to do all these interviews, I feel calm. I may not always look like it on the outside. It's hard to explain, but on the inside, I know that all this stuff, all these things that happen in this life, they're just, well, noise, I guess. They don't really matter. The most important things are the things that have to do with God and what we have to look forward to in heaven, being with him forever. I don't know. Compared to an eternity with God, the problems we run into here just don't seem as big. That's not to say they're not frustrating. But God helps us step back and see things for what they really are, and the frustrations of this life just aren't that big of a deal. I guess I'd be more concerned if I wasn't obeying God. Does any of this make sense, Jared?
None of it. I can't believe you're ruining our lives because of all this crazy stuff.
Oh, Jared, I pray someday you do believe. I pray all the time.
Just a couple of announcements before we start today. First, please keep praying for Mark Sawyer. He's continuing to look for a job. And also, please pray for Madeline and her job search. Second, as some of you may have heard, I was arrested earlier in the week for distributing a gospel tract at the coffee place down the street. In case you were wondering what the consequences of the new hate speech law were going to be, well, it looks like we have our first clue. The devil has a new weapon in his war to silence the spreading of the gospel. Many of the things that God talks about in his word, the things that he tells us are sins, the consequences of unrepented sin, and even the abundant mercy he shows us through the sacrifice of Jesus, all these things appear to be in violation of this new law. Some are probably wondering what this means for the church, what it means for the preaching that will happen in this church. Well, I can tell you that it means absolutely nothing.
Amen.
God's word will continue to be preached in this church without embarrassment, without edits, without giving in to the ploys of the devil or the plans of men. God is merciful, and we will glorify him for that. God is a righteous judge, and we will glorify him for that. And we will warn unrepentant sinners of the wrath to come and of the mercy that's here for them now.
Amen.
Just like in the early church, just like in the church in other cities, it looks like our faith will now cost us something, something very tangible, our freedom. Some have already learned that their faith and obedience to God can cost them their jobs. The trials that Christians have endured throughout the centuries, the trials that we've been spared from, now look like they've arrived in United City. This is our hour of testing. Will we be faithful? Are we wheat? Are we the chaff? You will find this out soon enough. The enemy is pressing against us. Is your house built on the sand, or is it built on the rock? It seems as though we're all about to find out. I'd encourage you to hold fast to the faith that God's given you and rely on his strength to get you through these trials. Get us all through. And for those of you who have been pretending, even deceiving others into thinking you're saved, deceiving yourself into thinking that you can deceive God, I'd encourage you to turn from your sins. Put your faith in Jesus. Believe that He saved you because no one else can. Surrender everything to Him today. Because the battle is at hand, and we already know who the winner is going to be, you need to be on His side. You need His strength for this fight. The only sure way to victory is to surrender. Surrender to God.
Amen.
Oh, please, Father, please save Jared. If it's your will, I beg you, please don't let the world get him.
And no, that doesn't count as a sermon. That's still to come. We're going to look at Romans chapter 1 today. It seems particularly relevant given the direction our city's going. But first, let's stand up and sing and praise our glorious and merciful God.
See, Bill, Romans 1. Just like we talked about before, it is happening.
Yep, Susan, it's just like God said. Boy, it's amazing to read the Bible and then see the things it talks about happen right in front of our eyes.
Let God be true and every man a liar.
That's right, Mark. God is trustworthy. It's nice to see that if He can be trusted with all these other things, we can certainly trust Him with our souls.
Amen, Mom.
How about I make us some sandwiches for lunch?
Susan, you need to sit down and just take it easy. You work all week, you take care of this house, you take care of Mark and I. You're allowed to rest on Sundays. I was just going to order a pizza.
We can't afford a pizza, Bill. Besides, I love taking care of my family. I get to spend the morning with my church family and the rest of the day with you two. God's blessed me beyond measure. How does peanut butter and jelly sound to everyone?
Yeah, PB&J. Can't go wrong with that.
You're too good to us, Susan.
I'll be right back.
Mom's really something, huh, Dad?
She's a very special woman, Mark. I know I didn't do anything to deserve God blessing me with a wife like that, but I'm sure thankful He did.
What did you think about Pastor getting arrested?
I was stunned. But then, after I thought about it, with what you and I have gone through at our jobs, is it any surprise that this would be the next step?
Yeah, and my boss Ken, and Madeline at church. Now we can get arrested for talking about Jesus saving people. That's amazing. It's like they're trying to drive us completely out of this society. What's going to happen to us, Dad?
What happens to Christians in other cities? What's happened to Christians the last 2,000 years?
Can that really happen here?
It's already happening, Mark. Look at what Pastor Jennings was talking about this morning, Romans chapter 1. This city has systemically denied God, ignored what He says, removed Him from every institution of our society. Is it any surprise that He's turned this city over to a depraved mind, to its sins?
Yeah, but that means we're going to be stuck in the middle of it.
Yeah, that's right, Mark. God keeps a remnant. He has us here for a reason, to be a light in this dark place, to be the salt of the earth, to tell people about what Jesus did for us, for them.
Yeah, but how are we going to tell people about Jesus if we wind up in jail?
Paul spent a lot of time in jail, and God used him to get a lot done.
Yeah, that's true. I just don't know how we're going to share the gospel with this new law in place. I mean, we can't water down the gospel. If we don't talk about sin, then Jesus dying for us makes no sense. If we don't talk about hell, then we deny God's justice and hide the true mercy of heaven. And if we can't talk about Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life, well, I don't know. I don't know how we're supposed to do this.
Very carefully, son. I have a feeling God will bring people to us. We have to be ready. Remember that verse in 1 Peter chapter 3? We're always supposed to be ready with an answer when people ask us about the reason for the hope that's in us.
Yeah, that's right. I sure hope I'll be ready.
You were ready when it came to standing up for God at work, and it looks like God will be giving us more opportunities to stand up for Him and tell people where our hope comes from. Is everything okay in there, Susan?
Is everything all right, Mom?
Susan!
Mom!
Help me, Bill. Help me.
What's wrong, Susan?
Did she fall?
My head, no. Help me, it hurts.
No, something else is wrong. Quick, call 911. Mark, hurry!
I'm in trouble, Bill.
Hang in there, Susan. Mark's calling 911. We're getting help.
I love you, Bill. Tell Mark I love him too.
I love you too, Susan. Don't you go anywhere. I need you here right now. God can't have you yet. I need you here.
I love you, Bill.
Oh, please, Father, no. I'm sorry. Your will be done, but please, not this. Please, not this. I'm begging you. I need her. You gave us each other, and I need her a little bit longer. Please, Father, please don't do this. Please have mercy on us.